Fisherman's Friends, this sort of fancifully sentimental drama, which is kind of inspired by, rather than closely based on, the true story of the singing sensation group.
Of the same name, yes.
I think it's aiming for local hero. It ends up closer to Swimming with Men, but then I actually kind of rather liked Swimming with Men. And I was more... It's that thing that I found this quite charming. So Daniel Mays is a London Record Company executive. He goes with his boss, Troy, played by Noel Clarke, for this sort of this weekend down in Port Isaac. Troy is played by Noel Clarke, who's decided to play Troy as a figure from American 70s exploitation cinema. And I could just imagine Noel going, this is how I'm doing it, and everyone else back off because I'm doing it this way, which is kind of fun. Whilst he was, remember that time whenever Jason Isaacs was in a film, he'd do it in a different accent because he wanted to sort of spread the thing around.
He's so very good at it.
Yeah, he's very, very good at it.
All right, Jason.
So anyway, so they get down there. While they're there, they see the Fisherman's Friends. These Fishermen are a singing group performing on, just by the sea, performing sea shanties. And for a joke, Troy tells Danny that he has to sign them up. And then he leaves him in the lurch. And by the time he finds out that he's been set up, he's already made all these promises to everyone, including Tuppence Middleton's boarding housekeeper, whose dad is involved in the group, about his good intentions. So now he can't let them down. But actually, more importantly, he's being seduced by the local beauty of Cornwall and by the port and by the pleasures of wearing chunky knitwear in a pub and having
his local hero.
Exactly. And yes, you half expect Burt Lancaster to be, you know, on the end of a phone and getting to turn up in a helicopter and asking him about the Northern Lights. So he makes it his mission to promote and indeed record the group. Here's a clip.
What do you think?
Are you all right? It sounds great. Although I was picking up a little bit of interference in the last verse.
Might be me pacemaker.
You don't want me turning that off, Father.
Okay, so, you know, you get the general tone of it. It's not subtle. It's not a hard-hitting documentary. It's one of those things in which its sense of authenticity is occasionally a little bit Ewan McGregor's accent in Brast off, and occasionally a little bit all the use of slang in The Englishman That Went Up the Hill and Came Down a Mountain. The River Tamar is invoked as the River Tamar over and over again. Nobody says anything like directly without it being explained what that's about. And there's a subplot about a local pub being in financial danger, which seems to have been put there entirely to create this sort of tension between love and money, because that's working for dramatic purposes. I mean, the only thing that bothered me was there's a lot of scenes when they're singing and you can see the instruments, but they're not playing the instruments, but you can hear the instruments. So either somebody had an iPod there, they're playing the instruments too, or somebody didn't think you have to pick the instruments up to be playing them. But, you know, if you want to take against it, there's plenty of ammunition in the film to do so. But why would you want to? It's kind of charming and kind of sweet, and I succumb to its touristy silliness and enjoyability. I mean, if you want the authentic voice of Cornish filmmaking, look at somebody like Mark Jenkins, whose film Bait was the toast of Berlin just a couple of weeks ago. If you want something that is, you know, that embraces you like a warm sweater and has those sea shanties, then this pretty much does that. It is the very definition of soft soaped and and contrived in the same way as Swimming with Men was, or even in the same way as Finding Your Feet was. And heaven knows, I found those charming enough.